Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this. Is today a Red Friday? It's Friday, but the Chiefs don't play this weekend. So I don't know what today is, but I'm happy to be here with you. Carrington here, Rob here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. K-State fan, we had so much fun talking about K-State. We have called up another K-State person. Yesterday, we had Tim Fitzgerald on the show. Today, John Kurtz will be on the show. John Kurtz will be on the show coming up in 45 minutes. We will talk Kansas State football with him. That's how excited we are about the Wildcats. I told you, I have put down the Missouri Tigers. They have wasted too much of my time and your time this college football season. We are a K-State household on this show. We are not talking KU football anymore. We might talk a little bit of basketball. They play North Carolina coming up in a couple of days. But we are a K-State household on this show. We also are going to be joined in studio by Nate Taylor. Nate Taylor is going to be on the show coming up in exactly 2 hours. We'll have a little bit of fun. We might have some Halloween spillover today, too. And I do have a very important question to ask you guys about the final 2 months of the year. We will get to that. We'll get to a lot of other things between now and then. I appreciate you guys listening and making us a part of your day. We will get to very serious sports things after we give you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Caller number 6, 913-586-7965. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations all around this city. Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether you're hungry enough for a whole pie or just want a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
All right, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day on 96.5 The Fan, also on the Odyssey app. I also need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends, but I need you to tell one friend to be sure to keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, I want to do an update. You know how sometimes you'll download a new operating system for your phone and then a couple of days later they'll hit you with the update? Let's update a couple of things. Now, Rob, if you can you hit me with a little bit of sad music? Because it wasn't that long ago that at least on this show we buried the Baltimore Ravens. Now, we buried the Baltimore Ravens in respect to their ability to be the one seed in the AFC. They are 4 games back of the Kansas City Chiefs. So, coming up in about 2 months or so, Baltimore is going to be going on the road to play Kansas City. And if they're not too careful, they could be going on the road to play Buffalo and on the road to play Kansas City. And given Baltimore's track record in these kind of things, that does not sound good. So we have already had our moment of silence for the Baltimore Ravens 1-seed chances. That's out of the question. I have already gone ahead and made it my point, and I've taken it upon myself to kick dirt on the Cincinnati Bengals. They are done. Now, you know what? The Jets, I believe the Jets are done, and I'm not going to let Thursday Night Football fool me, but the Jets showed a little bit of life in the casket. We might have to dig the body back up because maybe our autopsy was a little bit off here. I thought the Jets were 100% done. Right now, I am willing to say the Jets are 98% done. I am still not a Jets believer, but sometimes you got to do amendments to these things. But I still wholeheartedly and firmly believe that the Jets are done. I've already dug up a plot. I've already started to clear the space so one team can lay beside them, and that is the team that the Jets played on Thursday Night Football. It is the Houston Texans. Now, I want to be clear. Houston is a good team. Houston's going to win 10, maybe 11 games this year. Houston's probably going to win that sad division that they're in the AFC South. I still like their quarterback, and we'll talk about some of his struggles coming up momentarily. But this is not an indictment that I think Houston is a bad team. No. But there is a difference between being a good team and a potentially great team. It looks like the Lions have taken that step. We certainly know that Kansas City has taken that step. We've seen San Francisco take that step. We saw the Rams a couple of years ago take that step. There is a difference to me between being a 10-win team and a 13 or 14-win team. There is a difference between being a playoff team and a Super Bowl contending team. And I am here to report to you, my dear friends, that Houston is not a Super Bowl contending team. We've seen half the season now. I've seen a lot of Houston Texans football. I've seen them play good teams. I've seen them play bad teams and teams in the middle. Houston cannot win the Super Bowl. They can't block. Every time I look back, their quarterback is running for his life. Their offensive line is terrible. So I'm telling you right now that we got the sad music playing because we have already dug up the grave for another AFC team. The Houston Texans, their Super Bowl hopes, they're dead. That's not a team that can win the Super Bowl. Too banged up, too injured, can't block. That is not a Super Bowl team. You're not beating Buffalo in the postseason with that offensive line. You're not beating Baltimore in the postseason with that offensive line. And you are certainly not beating Kansas City with that offensive line. Chris Jones will have a field day. George Karlaftis will have a field day. Josh Uche will have a field day against that offensive line. So I would just like to go ahead and tell you guys that after watching Thursday Night Football, I am ready to go ahead and hereby decree the Houston Texans are no longer a Super Bowl contending team. We can cross one team off, another team off in the AFC. It's Kansas City. It is Buffalo. It is Baltimore. It is the same teams that we thought it was going to be at the very beginning of the season. Those are the only teams that have a legitimate shot of coming out of the AFC.
We said on the show yesterday, we said basically throughout the show yesterday, when we weren't talking Halloween, we were talking about this. It was a prove-it game for Houston and CJ Stroud. Because do you know who I know doesn't lose that game? The Chiefs. They might not have their wide receivers. They might not have Juju. They might not have Hollywood Brown. They would not have Rashee Rice. They would not be a dog, and they would not lose to the Jets. The Buffalo Bills. I know Chiefs fans like to get their jokes off at Josh Allen's expense, and they somehow hate him, this, that, and the other. But if Josh Allen didn't have Amari Cooper, you know what he would do? He would go on the road and beat the Jets on a short week. He'd have no problem doing it. Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson, take your pick from the AFC North. They win that football game. I have no doubt they beat the Jets. The Texans couldn't do it. CJ Stroud did not look good in the game. And as much as me and you argue back and forth about weaponry and how much it matters, a team like the Jets that is 2-6, it should not be the difference between losing and winning. The difference should not be Nico Collins. Stephon Diggs is not an 11-point player. That offense was awful, and it is not just weaponry. They can't block. They can't do anything right. CJ Stroud looked lost at times. That's the player I saw play in Ann Arbor. Bad football. That's the player I saw play at home against Jim Harbaugh and get boat raced. CJ Stroud showed last night, and the Houston Texans showed last night, that, hey, we thought they had taken the step up in the offseason. Hey, they brought Stephon Diggs in. They're ready to join the same weight class as the Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens. Nope. They are still a welterweight. They get a title. AFC South champs, great. But if you get matched up with one of the big dogs, one of the heavyweights, no. You're not in the same tier as these teams. Chiefs fans, if we polled 100 Chiefs fans on the Plaza right now, do you fear the Texans in the postseason? 99% would say no. The Bills would get 60% no, but there are fans who would still be scared of the Bills. That is not the case of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I think you and I are maybe on opposite sides, at least when it comes to C.J. Stroud. I actually think that C.J. Stroud has played fairly well this year. I think the infrastructure around C.J. Stroud is actually in pretty rough shape. So for, I guess, a comparison, did you know that C.J. Stroud has been the second most sacked quarterback in the NFL this year? The only quarterback who has been sacked more times than him this season has been Deshaun Watson. C.J. Stroud has been sacked 30 times this season over the first nine games. And if you go by sack yardage, it is minus 229. That's like a wide receiver on your team. So for a quarterback who has a pretty decent completion percentage, it's 64%. For a guy who is averaging 7 yards per an attempt and a quarterback right now that has a 92 quarterback rating, I actually think that C.J. Stroud has played pretty well. And this is why I hate a lot of the conversation that we want quarterbacks to do it without pieces, but then when they get pieces, we then penalize them for it, but then they struggle when they don't have pieces. And it's just, it is so backwards in logic. The Houston Texans' problem is they have not properly invested and built an offensive line to keep their quarterback upright. And if you can't do that in today's game, or really at any point in NFL history, you just don't have a chance of being sustainable and doing that consistently against good teams. Certainly not teams like Kansas City that can get after the quarterback. Certainly not against teams like Pittsburgh that are pretty stout defensively that could beat you. Denver is a capable defensive team. That's going to be Houston's downfall, is their interior, their offensive line is just really bad. And at least for me, I have kind of talked about the AFC like it's Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, and Houston. I can't do that anymore. I have to cross Houston off the list and just focus in on those three teams, the teams that have experience, the teams that have capable offensive lines, the teams that are balanced both running the football and throwing the football. I think we know who the teams that can represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, and I just don't think that Houston is one of those teams. Pittsburgh is one of those teams. I don't think the Jets are turning things around and putting themselves in the conversation. Cincinnati, I think at the midway point of the NFL season, we know the three teams in the AFC, and it comes down to who's healthy, who plays well at the end of the season, and ultimately, who is willing to step up between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, and who can finally beat Patrick Mahomes on the biggest stage. Lamar has taken his swing, he's missed. Josh Allen has taken a swing, and he also has missed. We will see who can take their swing in January against the champs, and we'll see if one of those teams can knock them off. Coming up on the other side, let's talk a little bit of college football. Also get to the big NFL game of the weekend. We got Penn State, Ohio State. We also have the Lions and the Packers. We're celebrating football here, even though the Chiefs don't play until Monday. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Carrington here, Rob here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to have Nate Taylor of The Athletic join us on the show. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we're going to take a trip to Manhattan, Kansas, to be joined by John Kurtz. Let's get into a little bit of NFL. We got the Lions and the Packers in the marquee NFC game of the weekend. So I'm looking at this Lions team as a legitimate and true Super Bowl contending team. This is a Lions team that I think has certainly proven itself over the course of the last year, year and a half or so, and it's certainly worthy of being in that conversation. They now find themselves, I would say, in the middle of the most entertaining fight in all of the National Football League if you're looking at the NFC North and where we currently sit. So in the NFC North, Detroit is 6-1. The Packers are 6-2. Now, I remember, where is our guy? Where's our guy Sean Barber? Because Rob, you sat there and Sean Barber gave me a lot of grief about picking the Packers to be the one seed in the NFC. Well, what if I told you right now that the Packers, if they win on Sunday, they would then be in line to be the one seed in the NFC. So I want some apologies from you guys, 913-586-7965. But Detroit is at 6-1. Green Bay is at 6-2. Minnesota is at 5-2. And Minnesota beat Green Bay on the road earlier this season. And Chicago is sitting at 4-3. I don't see Chicago yet as a team that I think can win the division. Chicago is also 0-3 on the road. If you can't figure out a way to get road wins, it's just going to be hard for you to get the necessary wins that you're going to have to win that division. But Detroit, to me, looks like the only certainty or the only sure thing in the NFC. I think that Green Bay is right there knocking on the door. This is a very, very important kind of statement game, I would say, for both sides, Green Bay and Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'll apologize. I was going back and forth with someone on the text line, and we were talking about Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, and they said, Rob, it's November 1st. And then it dawned on me, Carrington, I screwed up the open of the show. I was busy. I was on Cody and Gold. I was part of the fan club. I was talking to Bank. I was talking to Gold. And I lost it. I lost track of everything. This should have happened 20 minutes ago, and I apologize. But do you know what today is, Carrington? It's the start of the Christmas season.
What's happening right now? We were trying to have a conversation about the Lions and the Packers.
It's snowing in Minnesota. The weather's about to turn. I don't know if you've seen, sales are starting right now, baby. Get that pumpkin spice out of my life. It's peppermint season. You want to know why it's peppermint season? Christmas time is here. Are you getting your tree up this weekend? There's no college football to watch. Once Penn State, Ohio State's done, it's 2:30. That's tree time.
We were trying to have a conversation about the Lions and the Packers.
The Packers.
We were trying to talk sports on our sports talk show.
You had to derail it with Cole's music.
You had to derail it with the Urban Outfitters playlist is what you had to do. All right. Can you fade the music down just a bit?
Let's have a serious. It's so good.
Let's have a serious conversation about this. A serious conversation. I feel like I'm starting to have more of these old people takes on this show. I really feel like I'm starting to have more of these. And maybe it's just par for the course. I'm closer to 40 than I am 30, you know? So maybe I'm just going to have more of these old guy takes. How do we go from the 12 days of Christmas to now 2 months of Christmas? On the first day of, that's what it used to be when I was a kid. Christmas was the 12 days of Christmas. Maybe it started the 1st of December. You know, you might watch a little ABC Family. They'll have a Christmas movie on every single day. That was Christmas when I was a kid. When did the moment that you throw your jack-o'-lantern out, when did you start to put Christmas lights up? When did you start to put a Christmas tree up and start listening to Christmas music? You guys are telling me that you got 2 months of Christmas music in you? How many times do you have to hear Last Christmas you gave her your heart and the very next day she turned it away because she's tired of hearing that song? I feel bad for those of you that have to work in retail. Not because you got to deal with mean-spirited people. Because by the time we get to November 19th, you will have heard that Mariah Carey song 31 times. And you still got another 40 days to go. You guys tell me how long the NBA season is. It ain't as long as the Christmas season. It isn't. Not even close to as long as the Christmas season. When did Christmas become a two-month thing for us to celebrate? You want to know when Christmas starts? I'm going to tell you. Christmas starts after your Thanksgiving nap. Christmas starts after the Cowboys game. Christmas starts when Clark Hunt turns on the plaza lights. That is the official start to Christmas. Not November 1st. You were just watching Saw yesterday. Now you're watching Elf? No. I can't do this. I can't do it. I just want to know why Christmas is taking so long. Why it's 2 months. Someone says, C-Dot, you hate Christmas. No, I don't hate Christmas. I love Christmas. I just don't want 50 days of it. It's November 1st. You're telling me Christmas doesn't end until December 25th? No, I don't have it. I'm sorry. I'm all for, let's give Christmas 30 days. It doesn't need 51 days. No.
It needs 60.
That's my rant.
It needs as long of a run-up as we can get. If you want my honest answer, like not even like being super Christmas guy answer, you want to know why it happened? When we were kids, you know what Black Friday was? You'd go wait in line. You'd have to run into the store to get your item. Nowadays, everyone online shops. Everyone's on Amazon.com. And you know what they've done? They've extended those Black Friday deals through all of November. So you know what people's mindset is on November 11th or November 12th? It's Christmas shopping. And if you're Christmas shopping, you might as well get in the holiday spirit. Get your peppermint whatever from Starbucks. Head to Kohl's and make sure you hear Mariah Carey. Thanksgiving doesn't have songs. Thanksgiving doesn't have movies. Thanksgiving doesn't have a feel. So let's just burn right through it and start the Christmas season early. I mean, I don't know about your Facebook. My Facebook is polluted with people looking up, hey, here are the Christmas events I'm going to, and they're tapping interested in. I know about all the Christmas lights around the city now because that's what happens on November 1.
The text line is saying, stop being the Grinch, stop being Scrooge. I just don't know when. I want to know when the shift was. I just want to know when the shift was. When I was a kid, we were not drinking pumpkin spice lattes at the end of August. Now, we just start drinking pumpkin spice lattes on August 17th. I just want to know when Christmas became a 57-day activity. That's all I want to know. I just want to know. Christmas is longer than the baseball playoffs. I just want to know why. We keep the baseball playoffs nice and condensed. October. That's it. That's it. That's all I want to know. I don't have any other questions about Christmas. Hey, if you are happy that Christmas is here, I'm happy that Christmas is here. I love Christmas. I get all my Christmas in right after Black Friday. That's it. After Black Friday, I'll get all the Christmas I need in. I'll watch a little Home Alone. I'll watch a little Christmas Story. Give me a little eggnog. Give me a little Yuletide Carol. I'm not starting Yuletide Carol today. No, there's still leaves outside. It's still fall. Christmas is a winter activity. Winter, not fall.
It's supposed to be cold and rainy this weekend. That feels like hot chocolate with a little bit of Bailey's. That has that Christmas feel.
That's the Christmas feel.
You know, put a little sprinkle of peppermint in
there. We haven't even got past the election yet. We're already celebrating Christmas. Let's at least vote first before we start celebrating Christmas.
The minute that Dodgers player put the ball in his back pocket, it was Christmas season.
You gonna tell me how you got a presidential campaign in the yard and you got a snowman in the yard? Nah, bro, you can't have both. You got to make that decision right now. You got to make a pick on which one you want in the yard. Can we talk a little football now? Have you got your Christmas?
Fine.
You want a little bit more Christmas music? Go ahead. I'll give you one more Christmas song. You want another Christmas song?
Let me just finish my girl Mariah's song.
My bad. I'll be quiet. I'll hush.
I mean, I saw her live last year. Fire.
Sure was.
She played music I never heard of, but she also played the Christmas songs.
She probably played very popular songs. Like, hold on. She played the other American Mariah Carey, didn't she?
Oh, there was a line of demarcation.
She played the other version of Mariah Carey.
She played songs I never heard of. Me and my wife sat down. What is this? This is not all I want for Christmas is you. And then she played that, and my America stood up.
Woohoo! Thrilled. Thrilled. All right. We're done. We're finished.
It's going to be hit number one today. It's Christmas time.
Someone said, C-Dot, have you voted yet? Yes, I actually voted earlier today.
See? Perfect. Election's over.
I already went out and voted earlier today.
You pushed
done.
Through it.
I'm done. I voted yes on question two. That's all I'm willing to tell you. I voted yes on question two. I'm tired of driving over to Kansas to place those sports bets. I hate it on Sunday morning. God, I got to get up. Then I hate it. It really screws you on both ends of it. It honestly screws you. Because then you got to wake up in the morning to go over to Kansas. Then after the Chiefs play at 3:25, I got to drive over there again for Sunday night football. It's too much. No, just let me do it here at home. I can go play craps down the street. I can go play blackjack down the street, but I can't bet if the Chiefs are going to win. It's too much. It's too much. I voted yes. That's all I'm willing to tell you I voted on. I voted yes on question two. I would encourage you to do the same. Vote yes. Question two.
There have been one or two ads have run on this station promoting that.
Yeah, that's it. I voted yes on question two. I want you to go do the exact same. Can we get back to talking about the Lions and the Packers? That's what I thought we were doing here. We were talking Lions and Packers. You know I like the Packers. You know I picked them to be the one seed in the NFC. I feel like I've been proven right. When they've been healthy and had Jordan Love, they've been good. Now, Jordan Love is never healthy. It's always something with him. It's a knee thing. It's an ankle thing. It's always something with Jordan Love. But they got a big game this weekend at home against the Lions. I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC. They're really the only team that I really trust right now in the NFC, to be completely honest with you. Green Bay is probably on the outside of that. It's crazy because in the AFC, I would say that Kansas City is on a group of its own. I would say that the Lions are also that same way in the NFC, but that is just more because there's no other team that you would say right now is trustworthy in the NFC. Where in the AFC, I like Buffalo, I like Baltimore. They're on a different tier than Kansas City, but obviously for very different reasons than why Green Bay hasn't proven they're on the same tier as the Lions.
I think the Lions have shown that they are undoubtedly the best team in the NFC. And at this point, I think, now a lot can change between now and the postseason, but at this point, it would be a surprise if someone other than the Lions came out of the NFC. They look like the bully of that league. I know they have lost games. I get that. I know they lost Aiden Hutchinson. And I think they will address that problem between now and the trade deadline on Tuesday. I've seen, you know, people talking about, oh, they're going to get Max Crosby, Chase Young, whomever. I think they will fix that problem. But they are playing incredible football. They have a ton of weaponry. They have a quarterback playing exceptionally well. And if they add a pass rusher, that defense is very strong. And at this point, November 1, what you want to see as a football fan is Chiefs-Lions. That Lions offense against that Chiefs defense is going to be sensational television. And I know that the Packers are part of a really good NFC North. And basically everyone in the NFC North is good. But the Packers do not feel like they're in the same class as the Lions, which is crazy for people our age who grew up watching football to say, because it was the Packers, the rest of the division, 10 feet of crap, the Lions in the NFC North. But now, even if Jordan Love was 100% healthy, I think you would still pick the Lions to go into Lambeau and take care of business, because they are just running through the NFC, and no one looks like they can stop that behemoth.
I will say this, and I think that the Lions are a really good example for other teams in the league. You know how I say that teams take on the personality of their leader? Is there any team, and this includes the Chiefs, is there any team that you feel in the NFL has better taken on the personality of their leader than what Detroit has with their head coach? Think about what you just said about Detroit and what they have been for basically our entire life. No one has been able to consistently turn the Lions around until Dan Campbell got there. And he was a hire that a lot of us mocked, and it didn't really make a lot of sense. He was New Orleans' tight end coach, and he got hired as the head coach for the Detroit Lions. Oh, same old Lions. This hire doesn't make any sense. They're just throwing darts at a dartboard. He's instantly come in and changed the feeling and mindset and culture around the Detroit Lions. And this is a team that I would say, more so than any team this side of Kansas City, they just beat you up. I think I saw a stat a couple of days ago that no team that played the Lions won the next week so far this season. That's what the Steelers used to do to you. That's what the Ravens used to do to you. You would go in a game against them, they would beat you up, and you needed a couple of weeks to recover physically. They run the ball really well with two great running backs, with Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. They have an incredible passing attack. You think that Jared Goff has a legitimate shot to win NFL MVP. This is a Lions team that has really established a culture. They have become something over the course of the last year and a half. And I think they're the most fun team to watch in the league. Sure, the Chiefs win more than the Lions do, but we can admit the Chiefs really aren't a fun brand of football to watch. Not throwing the ball over the field, just outscoring people, not really beating people up in that way. They're more technical, Floyd Mayweather style. Saw someone make that comparison. And the Lions have been a team with the big knockout punch, a team that can score a lot of points, throw the ball around the yard. The Lions have been a really, really fun team to watch. Let's talk about the top game in college football this weekend between Ohio State and also Penn State. I'll start with this question. Who do you think this weekend is more important for? Do you think it's Ohio State's coach and Ryan Day, or do you think it's James Franklin at Penn State? Who needs this win more out of those two coaches?
Whew, that's a great question, because both of them have the knock of failing to win the big one. I think the answer is Ryan Day needs it more. Because if Ohio State loses, Ohio State's path to not only just the winning the college football playoff, but making the playoff gets hazy. And for a year that everyone felt Ohio State was head and shoulders above everyone else coming into the season, they have the new quarterback, they brought the best transfer portal running back in, they have the star freshman wideout, they have the sexy offensive coordinator hire and Chip Kelly. They had a schedule that was favorable. They played a non-con of no one. Like, I remember you had Phil Steele on and we talked to him about it. And you said the only team you can for sure guarantee as a playoff team right now is Ohio State. If you have all those expectations and they get met with another flop, the Ohio State people don't take kindly to that kind of thing. And the locals were getting restless last year with Ryan Day after a couple Michigan losses. If he fails to make the college football playoff, which could happen with a loss Saturday, he might be on the hot seat. So I think Ryan Day needs it more, because I think his fan base, you know, athletic department is more itchy to make a move.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I think it's Ryan Day in this matchup as well for a lot of the reasons that you just gave. If you're Ohio State and you've already lost so far this season, so you went on the road and you lost to Oregon, and now you go on the road and you lose to Penn State. I mean, we talk a lot about resume, and certainly you would feel that the Ohio State brand would get them into the college football playoff. They don't really have a lot of impressive wins either. Now, they play Indiana at the end of the season. We'll see if Indiana is still undefeated when you beat them, and you have Michigan at the end of the year, but Michigan is not its usual self. I mean, Ohio State's schedule and their resume, it's going to be kind of light if they lose this game on the road to Penn State. And for a year in which they have invested very heavily in the transfer portal, I'm guessing it was a pretty expensive year if you were Ohio State. It costs a lot of money to go get Will Howard. If you're going to go get one of the top quarterbacks out of the transfer portal, that is at least seven-figure salary. Will Howard is making very good money to be the quarterback at Ohio State. You also went, you got Judkins, the running back from Ole Miss, so you spent a lot of money on him. This is a team that they spent a lot of money out there in NIL, and if you were telling me that you're going to be heading in potentially to your final four games and you feel that you are on shaky ground when it comes to the college football playoff, it is not going to be good. It's funny because both coaches kind of have the same stigma around them. James Franklin has not won a single big game his entire time at Penn State. They have consistently lost this game. And Ohio State, they don't really have a good track record of winning this kind of game either. On the road against a top opponent, I believe Ryan Day is 3-9 in these games, and you lost your other big game earlier this year to Oregon. I actually think Penn State's going to win this game. I think that Penn State has been more consistent out of these two teams. I think that Penn State has been better out of these two teams. I'm picking Penn State to win this week. They're a slight underdog in this, given the fact that they're at home. They're a 4-point underdog, maybe 3.5-point underdog, depending on where you get your number. I think Penn State is going to, it sounds crazy, say pull off the upset because they're ranked higher than Ohio State and they're also at home. But I think the Nittany Lions are winning this weekend.
I agree with you. And now let's have the conversation about what happens if Ohio State loses. Are they a playoff team? Because you laid it out, they have the brand. They absolutely have the brand. But if you're going to ding teams for not playing good non-conference opponents, boy, do we have to ding Ohio State. They played no one in the non-con. Like, less than no one. They played very, very cupcakey schedule. And the two games that have been tough on their schedule, now they still have two tough games left, the two tough games that have been on their schedule, you took L's in both. Man, if Indiana's a one-loss team, if
you know, Oregon or Penn State end as a one-loss team. Now Texas, Georgia gets back into the fold. Tennessee, like, there's a lot of team, Notre Dame, A&M. There's a lot of teams that one, two-loss category that schedules are arguably better. Are the Buckeyes a playoff team if they lose?
I think they're going to be for this reason. Now, let's see how they potentially lose in your scenario. Do they lose on a last-second field goal? Is it a Hail Mary? Is it a close, well-contested game? It's just going to be hard, I think, to convince a lot of people like myself that you have a 12-team playoff. Ohio State lost in a last-second fashion on the road to Oregon, and they lost on the road to Penn State, two teams that we think are in the playoff, and now we don't think that Ohio State is worthy of being one of the seven at-large teams. So I think it's going to be really hard to keep the name, the brand, and the talent, especially because if those are their two losses. Now, at some point, it does have to signify who you beat, and there's not a lot of great teams left on their schedule. I just find it hard to believe that they would leave them out. Let me ask you this question. If it comes down to a two-loss Ohio State and a one-loss Notre Dame will not have a lot of great wins either, and they haven't played nearly the schedule that we think Ohio State. They don't have an at Oregon on their schedule or at Penn State on there. So there's going to be a lot of questions coming up in a month or so about who should get into the playoff and who's not going to get into the playoff, and it's going to be some very interesting debates, but debating these things are kind of the purpose of college football. Coming up on the other side, speaking of the playoff, let's head to Manhattan, Kansas to be joined by John Kurtz. K-State has four games left in the regular season. Can they do this thing? Can they win the Big 12? We'll find out. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Let's head to Manhattan, Kansas to be joined by John Kurtz. He is the host of the Three Mall Podcast, who covers the Kansas State Wildcats. John Kurtz, can you please tell all of your Wildcat friends that we had a K-State guest on 2 days in a row? We treating you guys like you're the Chiefs or something.
I'm not going to lie. I was just talking to Rob a second ago. I was like, K-State Houston game really like popping off in these streets, man. Like, people are excited about K-State Houston. I'm impressed. I am pleasantly surprised.
You thought I was going to ask you about the Houston Cougars on this show? You've listened to this show before. You thought that was going to come up?
Hey, man, I don't know. You know, I saw Donovan Smith at one point mocked in the first round. He's not even their starting quarterback anymore. So, you know, I don't know.
Right now we're talking to our guy, John Kurtz here. All right, Kurtz, this is what I want to get your opinion on. You know college football the way that I know college football. And there are five games this weekend where there is a ranked opponent that is going on the road. Ole Miss is going on the road to Arkansas. Oregon is going on the road to Michigan, Indiana and Michigan State, Texas A&M, South Carolina. And you guessed it, your K-State Wildcats against Houston. Are you worried at all, just a little bit, that K-State could catch the upset bug?
Mildly. You know, I mean, I think situationally there's a lot of stuff that lines up and makes sense as to why people in this spot would look at it and say, okay, like, keep your eye on this, because one, K-State is coming off of a pretty emotional game. I mean, they had to spend a lot of emotional energy to win that game against Kansas. And then next week they've got a bye. So, you know, this is a spot where it's like, all right, you go play this game against a team that is not very good toward the bottom of the Big 12 standings. There's not going to be many people there. It's going to be a really dull atmosphere. Like, just roll in there, get your win, and you get a rest week. So I can see how you'd look at that and say, situationally, this doesn't feel like a great spot for the Cats. I just don't know that Houston has enough to really fully take advantage of that. You know, I mean, you saw them play Kansas. Obviously they didn't look very good there, and that's a Kansas team that just went toe-to-toe with K-State. If you figure they're at worst, you know, kind of on an even playing field based on what they are right now, transitive property is dangerous in college football, but I just don't know that Houston has the offense to really keep up. Their defense is okay. You know, you look at them in the Big 12, they're kind of middle of the pack, maybe middle upper. And probably it's fair to say their offense has been so bad that defense would be better if paired with a competent offense. But, yeah, I don't know. They can't throw the ball. All they can really do is run it a little bit. Zion Chris has been a little better than Donovan Smith at quarterback. But it's just a rebuilding program that's in the early stages of a rebuild. And you know, if you're TCU level, you're capable of like a horrific TCU performance, which they are because they turn the ball over a ton, and you can lose. You know, TCU did at home to Houston, but I think K-State's got way too much. Houston beat TCU and Utah, two teams that have either a completely erratic offense or no offense at all, and I just don't think that fits what K-State is right now.
If you had to hand that upset token to another team in college football, who would you hand it to? Because you and I both know one of these ranked opponents is losing. Like, if you did a five-team just money line parlay, you are not cashing that parlay. One of those five teams are losing. You don't think it's K-State. Perfectly fine. Let's say you're going to hand that to Texas A&M, or you're going to hand it to Ole Miss or Oregon. Who would you hand it to? Who do you think out of that group is going down this weekend?
Honestly, and I like this team, actually. I still think that they very well could make the playoff even with this, but I think Texas A&M's in a lot of trouble. I think that's a tough spot. South Carolina's been really good. I mean, they should have won that LSU game. They really did. I don't like to be, hey, the officials, you know, cost a team a game guy, but they really did cost South Carolina that game back in toward the beginning of the year. Texas A&M just came off a huge win at home. They're riding high. Now you got to go on the road to a team that has been probably a bit undervalued because they just haven't quite come through in moments like that against LSU when they really should have. And South Carolina is a tough place to play, man. That's a really underrated atmosphere. I've had enough people in SEC country talk about how good that atmosphere can be at Williams-Brice that I think a night game there is kind of a hornet's nest that Texas A&M is walking into. So for a lot of the situational stuff that I just lined up about K-State Houston, I think it applies to A&M South Carolina, but South Carolina has enough substance to actually get over the hump there and win the game.
Right now, we're talking to John Kurtz of the Three Mall Podcast, talking a little college football, talking a little K-State. John, what's the biggest, I guess, point of growth that you've seen from the Wildcats from week one to now?
Probably just their poise and like ability to battle through adversity, because that was really the problem at BYU. Was once things started going wrong, they just kept going wrong and it completely snowballed. And now this team has proven twice, both at Colorado and then against Kansas, that when they face some adversity, they can put up a wall and move forward. That's Colorado. I mean, they're leading basically the entire game, totally in control, and all of a sudden you snap your fingers and it's gone, and they need a drive with 2 minutes to go in the game, and they do it in three plays. Take the lead, then the defense gets a stop. And then against Kansas, you know, I mean, I would say they probably got outplayed, certainly very close to it, and late in the game, they find a way, man. They need a play. They force the fumble on Jalen Daniels. Even if the offense didn't move it as much as you'd like to, they get a 51-yard field goal, and then the defense continued what it did all fourth quarter, which was stop Kansas and be able to send a lot of pressure. So I just feel like they have more ways to beat you now. Obviously, the development of the passing game is a part of that. You know, that's how you can kind of move past that now. If you get buried like you did at BYU, felt like at the time they didn't really have the passing game to get back into it. Now they do, and Avery Johnson's gotten better there, but they're also just more poised and not letting that stuff get to them. They were bad in one possession games last year. I mean, all those Texas, Missouri, like all the losses that came up last year, Oklahoma State, I believe by the end of it wound up being a one possession loss as well. Like, they were not good in those situations a year ago. And I think honestly, a lot of it is at the quarterback position. I just think Avery Johnson has an extra gear to get to that Will Howard did not. And has proven himself to be a little bit more of a clutch player so far in his career. So I think that's been the real difference.
So K-State is 7-1 right now. They have three games left until they play Iowa State. What's their record going to be heading into Farmageddon?
I do think it's going to be 10-1. Now, you got to be careful with that. Obviously, road game here that we're talking about against Houston, but honestly, I'd be a little bit more worried about Arizona State or probably Cincinnati. I mean, those are the next two home games, and I know those are not teams that elicit a lot of fear just based on the name, but Arizona State and Cincinnati have quietly been a lot better this year. Those are both going to be bowl teams, and Cincinnati in particular with Brendan Sorsby at quarterback, he's just made a massive difference for them, and they've had some close calls. But still sit at 5-3. I mean, they're good enough to beat you if you don't bring a great effort. You know, I mean, we saw what could happen. K-State wasn't totally sharp against Kansas. They almost got beat at home. Arizona State's probably capable of that too. They have one of the best running backs in the country in Cam Scataboo. And if Sam Levitt, their quarterback, is healthy, like they're solid. But I don't foresee K-State having a ton of trouble there. The problem is going to be, boy, that game in Ames is just going to be a bear. I think that's going to be a really tough one for them to win, not just because Iowa State is so much better this year, but, I mean, Matt Campbell's gotten the better of Chris Klieman. That's just been the track record between those guys since they've been coaching against each other. Obviously, the overall record, Matt Campbell's 3-2, but, you know, he's got the 2020 win that was the worst loss of the Klieman era. And then he's got last year in the snow, which was a really particularly embarrassing loss for K-State. He's been able to do it in Manhattan and in Ames. I just think that's going to be a really tough game. I heard actually Josh Pate say earlier today that he talked to FanDuel, and FanDuel said right now Iowa State would be a 5.5-point favorite in that game. So that'll be a really, really tough one at the end of the year.
That is our guy, John Kurtz, joining us on the show. He's with the Three Mile Podcast. John, I hope that you're not on the show between now and the end of the month, because if you were on the show next week, something went wrong this week. Something went terribly wrong if you were on the show next Friday.
Oh, you weren't going to bring me on to just talk about your Tigers and that dominant performance at Bama?
All right. Yep, see, why are we – see, Rob, you're just going to give him that extra time to do that? No, see, I had to cut that off early. No, we're not. No, I'm not letting that fly here. We invited John Kurtz on our show, and he was going to lead with disrespect. No, we can't have that. No. No, you know what? John Kurtz is on a one-week suspension. He's right next to Josh Briscoe on a one-week suspension for that activity. No, we got to start running a tighter ship. Speaking of a tighter ship, there is a player in the NFL who needs to be suspended. I'll tell you who. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.